the second epistle of Timothy, the second epistle of Timothy, and we'll read the whole chapter. Second epistle of Timothy, chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers, with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembered of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which first dwelt in thy grandmother Lois and my mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of his prisoner, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel, according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but now is made manifest by the appearing of our Saviour Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Whereunto I am appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus, that good things which was committed unto thee keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me, and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently, and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day, in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. Amen. And we do ask the Lord's blessing on his word. I think, as we all know, the Apostle Paul wrote these two epistles to Timothy. Timothy, a younger man, a man entrusted to minister to a church. And as Paul writes to him in the second verse of that chapter we read, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace and mercy and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. And Paul wrote this epistle to encourage Timothy as he contended for the faith, as he helped establish the church, to encourage Timothy as he endured the many problems and difficulties of being a Christian in a hostile and difficult world, as he sought to instruct those that the Lord had entrusted him and to enable them to live a Christian life. But when I read this chapter, I was struck very much just by the first verse. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. And I don't know about you, but so often when you get a letter, you open it, and probably you ignore the first paragraph because it's just a salutation. We might say, how are you? And you move on to get, as it were, to the meat of the letter. And sometimes we can do that with reading God's word that we miss out the salutation to move on to get. And Paul starts the first epistle to Timothy in a very similar words. He says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Saviour. And if you look through the various epistles, Romans says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle. Corinthians, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God. 2 Corinthians, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Galatians, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. Ephesians, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Philippians just has a general greeting, but he does say that he's the servant of Jesus Christ. Colossians, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. And then the salutations to the Thessalonian church are different. But again, in Timothy, as we've just read, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ. And then in Titus, Paul, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect. And then Paul starts these epistles with this statement, with the one purpose of showing us, of telling us, of revealing unto us what is authority and his qualifications for writing such a letter. Again, as I said, if you receive a letter nowadays, so often you have to get to the end to read why this person has written to you. It might be a friend, but if it's someone from authority, they sign off their letter, they will give their position in that organisation, they might even put some qualifications, and that's their authority for writing the letter. And so, depending on what authority they represent, you might take heed a bit more to the letter. And it is in everyday life. If you're challenged by a policeman and you ask for his authority, they'll produce a warrant card that shows their authority. When I used to visit farms for the Ministry of Agriculture, I had a card which stated by what authority I had to visit that farm and inspect the dairy part of that farm. Similarly, an officer in the armed forces receives a commission or a certificate granted by the king that gives him his authority. And so Paul states his authority, which we'll consider in this sermon, his authority for writing these letters. And because of Paul's authority, it behoves us to take heed to what he has written, to consider what he has written in these letters. And it's the same with us. We can talk to people about our faith, about God's word, and sometimes we're challenged as to what our authority is. And our authority is similar to what Paul has. Paul, as we'll see in a minute, is an apostle, and we're not called to be apostles, but we are called to be Christians in the same way that Paul was called to be a Christian. And we do have an authority to speak about God's word if we have been called. We might not be called to be preachers, but we can speak to everyone about God's word. As I said, we couldn't use the exact phrase that Paul uses because the apostles were unique for this occasion in the church's history. But we are called to be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll consider what an apostle is in a minute. And so you could substitute in this opening verse, and I could say David, a disciple of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. And that's my authority, to tell people about the gospel. I have been called by the will of God, that I am a disciple. And so I have an authority, a right to speak about my Saviour. And also, we have a very succinct definition of what it is to be a Christian. So often when we're asked, we can go on and say that we've been saved by grace, that we were sinners. But if you want a very short and succinct definition of what a Christian is, we're people that have been called by the will of God. We have been called by God. As I said, a very succinct verse, but it reminds us of our salvation. Reminds us that we're a people that have been called, that have been chosen. Nothing that we have done has enabled us to become a disciple of our Saviour, of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so if you consider this verse, consider that your standing as a disciple is because of the will of God. You're a disciple of Jesus Christ because it's the commandment of God. And no longer apostles about. And so what are the marks of an apostle? If you read a dictionary definition of an apostle, it describes someone as sent forth, a messenger, or an ambassador. But the word apostle, as used in the Bible, it's used in a very specific way. Alas, there are many so-called Christians or churches that claim they have apostles today. But that is a false statement. An apostle, as Paul has stated in the first epistle, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. God is the one that appoints apostles. Paul, in his first epistle, say that he was an apostle by the commandment of God. No man can appoint an apostle. Again, as we read in Galatians, in the first verse of Galatians 1, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father. All the apostles were appointed, were called by God. They're not of the appointment by men, but by Jesus Christ. It is the will of God that there were apostles appointed at this time in church history. As Paul reminds us later in this chapter, in verse 11, he says, "Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles." Paul was appointed, but not by men, not by the church, but by the Lord Jesus Christ. And the marks of an apostle. In 1 Corinthians, Paul says, "Am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord?" We all have a spiritual sight of our Lord, but all the apostles saw the Lord Jesus Christ. The apostle Paul had that extra special revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I know that all the apostles that go about today have not had that special sight of the Saviour, of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the other thing that marks out the apostles as recorded for us in God's word. Again, Paul reminds us in Corinthians, he says, "Truly, the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds." Paul and the other apostles had their calling confirmed by God, by the signs and wonders and mighty deeds. All that the apostles taught was confirmed by signs and wonders and mighty deeds. As Paul writes to the Thessalonians, For this cause also, that we God without cease, that we without ceasing, because when we received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. The apostle preached, but he was delivering the word of God. And we know that he's delivered the word of God because it's in the canon of Holy Scripture. And we know that the word of God is complete, that we're not to add to it. We're not to subtract from it. And so anybody that says he's an apostle with the word of God nowadays will either be adding to the word of God or will be subtracting for the word of God. The apostles' testimony and witness was confirmed that the Lord called them, confirmed that they were able to do these signs and wonders. And so Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Saviour, Paul, apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God. He was commanded, he was called, he was chosen by being chosen by God. But before being an apostle, Paul was a believer on the lead in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul was called to believe and then became an apostle. And so it is with us. If we're a believer, it's not by our will. It's not by the appointment of other men. It is because we have been called by the will of God. It is at the commandment of God that the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world to save us. And Paul is not an apostle because of what he has done. We read in the first chapter of Timothy again, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Paul was not called to be a believer because of his works. He was not called to be an apostle because of what he had done, but he was called according to the purposes of grace which are in Christ Jesus our Lord. And we too are not saved by our works. We are saved because the Lord Jesus Christ has called us for his own purposes. And remember, we read, before the world began. So no man can call you, because the Lord Jesus Christ knew you before you were born. Not according to works. And so again, it's reverse of so often that we see that men in the church are appointed to positions because of their works. But remember, a true minister is called by the Lord first and confirmed by their manner of life, their testimony. And Paul reinforces this calling. He says, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I, more circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I count but loss for Christ. There's Paul. He doesn't boast in what he did before he's a Christian. So we can see he was a very zealous Jew. He had that great knowledge of the Old Testament, but they weren't gained to him because he didn't know Christ. In fact, they were a loss because they blinded his eyes to see who the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's a reminder to each one of us that our faith isn't on who we are, which family we belong to, whether we've been going to church all our lives. A great difficulty sometimes for young people growing up in a Christian household to think that their faith is because of the family lives. No, faith is that calling of Christ. The family home can lay the foundation. You will hear the word, you will know the scriptures, but you need to hear the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ calling you from your sin to trust on him. Again, the Lord Jesus Christ states, he says, which were born not of blood, nor the will of man, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but by God. We must be born again, and that is by the will of God. Again, in that verse we just read, not of blood. The Jews were relying on all those sacrifices, but they couldn't save them. There is only one sacrifice that will save you, and that is the sacrifice of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, his blood shed upon the cross. And so Paul's calling, an example, a reminder, and confirms to us that salvation is of the Lord. Nothing that we can do, but it is that calling of the Lord. Or again, as the psalmist reminds us, salvation belongeth unto the Lord. And again, Paul writes to the Acts. He says, for he is a chosen... Paul, on the day of his... at the time of his conversion, we read that he is a chosen vessel unto me. Saul, Saul, why persecutest me? But he was called by name. He was chosen by God. And so it is with every believer. We are called by name. We're chosen by God. Not chosen by men or anything else. Salvation is of the Lord. And Paul, when he writes to the Ephesians, and I will read just the first 12 verses of Ephesians chapter 1, because it's so clear there. He says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God of Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. The blessings that we enjoy as believers are nothing that we have done, nothing that is bestowed upon us by anybody else, but they're the blessings from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. All our spiritual blessings come from the Lord God and from Christ. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Chosen before the world began. No man can have an influence on someone that isn't born. And so no man can choose you to be a Christian. It is the Lord that chooses. Having predestinated us to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ, to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. Again, our adoption is by Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will. To the praise and glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in blood, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Again, the reminder that Christ's blood is the one that enables us to be born again, to have that, to be clothed in his righteousness. Wherein he abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in dispensation of fullness of time he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. So again, our salvation is of the Lord, nothing that we can boast in. But the Lord called the Apostle Paul for that task of being that messenger of his word. And we are called with a purpose. As the Catechism states, that man's, I've forgotten it, man is to glorify the Lord God. That's the first duty of man. And it is with us that we too have been called to glorify God, to bear witness to him. And so Paul In making this statement that he's an apostle by the will of God, he is acknowledging that his salvation is of God. He is acknowledging that his authority is that he is doing the Lord's work, that he has come to do the Lord's work, that salvation begins with God. And how often, when you talk to people, their excuse for ignoring God is that they don't believe in God. Well, there was a time when I didn't believe in God, but he called me, he opened his eyes, he was pleased to reveal unto us. And now I believe in God, and I have that authority to tell men and women that God is, that the Lord Jesus Christ has come into this world to save sinners. Paul's belief in God is revealed in all that he says. He knows his God is eternal. He knows that his God is the creator, the sustainer, has all power, is holy, is righteous, is just and wise. And therefore, because he knows his God, he knows that all power is in God's hands, and God has granted him that authority to preach his word. And to that lesser extent, we too have that authority to tell men and women of our Saviour, Christ Jesus our Lord, the one that has come in to this world to save sinners. Paul is humbled because he knows that he is called, that he is obeying the commandments of God. We just read in Galatians how in his old state he would boast in all his knowledge of the Old Testament, that he was of the right family, that he'd been circumcised, that he'd kept the law, that he'd done everything necessary. But Paul realized that he was a sinner. He was humbled, and he called upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when the Lord calls and wills, he works out his purposes. We read of Paul about how he was called, and then as an apostle, he was faithful in the administering of that office that he was chosen for. And we can read how he was faithful and how he went up to Rome to eventually be martyred. But alas, so often, not all of God's people are so faithful from the beginning. Contrast with Jonah. He was called to be a prophet, but he didn't want to go to Nineveh, and he went down to Tarshish. But it's a reminder that the Lord made Jonah willing as well. We see that God's purposes, God's will, is never thwarted. And so if the Lord has willed us to be saved, he will deliver us. We can discern what is his will for us in this life, and so we should fulfill it. But the Lord will accomplish his purpose. He accomplished it in the calling of Paul. He accomplished it in the calling of Jonah. And he will accomplish it in us. As we read in Timothy again, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our purpose, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us before the world began. And as I said, one of the purposes are that we should be a witness, that we should bear testimony to our faith, to those round about. The Lord effectually calls his people, and they will be made willing in the day of his power. Paul, as I said, a sinner saved by grace, given that gift of faith, and saved, and was able to go and communicate it to those round about. Christ delighted to do his Father's will. Paul delighted to obey the commandments of the Lord, of God. And Christ, again, delighted to do his Father's will. That's why he came into this world. He delighted to lay down his life, that his blood could be shed for the salvation of God's elect, those chosen before the world began. But as I said, we're not apostles. As we've seen, the office of apostle is a distinct and unique and only established for that period of the church's history. But we live in the world, we have God's complete word. And so we can tell others of God's word, not to add to it, not to subtract from it. But we're called and we have that same authority to tell people of God's word, because God's word is sure and certain. It is the commandment of God, and men and women need to hear it and take heed. We start by taking heed to God's word, to those epistles written by Paul. Because Paul, that apostle of Jesus Christ by the commandment of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, said an apostle is that messenger sent for. And we too are to be followers of Paul, to emulate him, in that we too can declare God's word, not necessarily from a pulpit as a preacher, but in our lives we can be messengers to those around about, as we talk to our neighbours, to members of our family, to those that we work with. We can bear testimony to God's word. And if people say stop, remember, our authority first comes from the Lord. Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles, took the gospel to the Gentiles. We live amongst the Gentiles. We too should take the gospel to the Gentiles. But Paul also encouraged the believers. He wrote this epistle to the church. The letters that he wrote, letters of encouragement, letters of doctrine, letters of chastisement. And so we too should bear witness to everybody round about us, to fellow Christians. We can be encouraging. We can explain the doctrine and understanding. We can be a Barnabas, the son of consolation, exhorting, encouraging, and helping one another. And if necessary, perhaps add that word of rebuke or that word of challenge when we see a fellow saint going the wrong way. As Malachi reminds us, he says, they that fear the Lord spake often one to another. So we can speak to all round about us. We could write to those that need encouragement. We have the phone to encourage and exhort one another. And so often, when we do talk to people, or before we talk, we can be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Again, it's natural. What did Paul write to Timothy? We've just read it in verse 8. Verse 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. It's natural sometimes, or we are fearful, so we are ashamed. But when we do talk about our Lord, and what is the reason that so often people criticize us, is that we're being arrogant. But Paul wasn't arrogant, because he knew that his salvation was of the Lord, that he had done nothing. And so don't let us be ashamed, because we know of our standing. We're not being arrogant. We're not saying what we have done. We're saying what Christ has done for us. We can say that we too were like them once, that we had no interest in God's word, but the Lord revealed the truth of his word to us. And so we delight in hearing God's word proclaimed. We delight in reading his word. Nothing to be ashamed of, because as Paul, when he writes to Timothy, after saying, be not thou for ashamed, he then writes in verse 9, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. We have nothing to be ashamed of. Our authority is that we're talking about God about God's word, about our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we seek to be faithful and trustworthy witnesses. Very struck when you reading Revelation, when I was considering this. And if you read in Revelation 12, it talks about the defeat of Satan. And verse 11 says, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony." We know that our victory is through Christ Jesus, through the blood of the Lamb. But it says the word of their testimony. Sometimes the word of the testimony is referring to the Lord Jesus Christ and all that he has done. And we are to witness what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. We can bear witness, testimony to what Christ has done. But notice it says here, by the word of their testimony. And that's something that each believer has, a testimony that we can give. Because the Lord used the Apostle Paul. His testimony was that he was the best of Jews. But the things that he learnt, he could reveal, they meant nothing to him until he was called. And so the way the Lord calls us can be our testimony to those round about. If you forgive a personal example, I remember years ago, someone said, "Oh, it's all right for you." And I said, "Well, no, it's the Lord's that done it, has called me." And I said, just as an example, I have two brothers, both brought up in the same family, both went to the same school. We had to attend chapel services. We had the same teacher of RE, as they called it in those days. But none of them were called. My upbringing meant nothing. It was because the Lord called me. If it was my upbringing that meant that I had faith, then why haven't my brothers got faith? But the Lord called them. And so the word of testimony, we can each give a word of testimony. And we can give that word because we have the authority of the Lord. We have various experiences which we can relate to how the Lord has helped us, how the Lord has answered our prayer, the Lord has relieved our anxieties. And even in this present day, the world is rushing about and they don't have hope. But what's our testimony? As we read in Peter, "Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear." We may lack, we may be fearful, we may lack that confidence, but we can give a testimony of our hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can have confidence to speak of our experience. The one thing that you hear so often in the news days, when people try and stop a discussion or an argument, it might be an argument about racism or all these other things that men and women get up to. They say you haven't had the lived experience, so you can't criticise, you can't speak about this. But the one thing that each true believer has is that experience of sins forgiven and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Each one of us, if we are a believer, can say that we have tasted and seen and experienced that the Lord is good. We know of the Lord's blessing because we trust in them. The world can't say that, but we know, we have tasted, we have seen, we've experienced the Lord is good. And therefore we need not be ashamed, for we know whom we have believed and persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. The testimony is verbal. We talk to people about it. But remember, we're called also to be salt and light, and both salt and light don't make any noise. So our testimony is reinforced by that holy and sanctified lifestyle. the world, as we know, is very good at pointing out hypocrites and pointing out hypocrisy amongst God's people. And so don't give the world the chance, the opportunity to be pointing out hypocrisy. We're to speak the truth. We're to live the truth. We're to exhibit the truth in our life, that we're to seek to live that sanctified and that holy life. As Christ says, ye shall know them by their fruits. And that is the challenge, that we're to bear testimony to our Saviour verbally, but testimony in the way we live our lives in this present fallen world. And so if anybody criticises you, if anybody says you ought to be ashamed for what you believe, we have tasted and seen that the Lord is good. We're doing the Lord's will. The Lord has called us to be ambassadors, has called us to the kingdom for such a time as this. And so as Paul's authority came from God, Paul was called by God, we too, as believers, called by God, and have that same authority because God has called us to be witnesses to this perverse and crooked generation. Amen.
Amen.
Our closing hymn reminds us of our sin. Hymn number 525. All that I was, my sin, my guilt, my death was all my own. All that I am, I owe to thee, my gracious God alone. Hymn number 525. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory, with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Saviour, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and for ever. Amen.
Amen.